surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. Today is the third in a part of Who Do You Think You Are Talking To? In the series 40 Days of Prayer with Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. Today we'll focus on that God does not say yes to every request and that God invites us to live with him forever. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Because God is always a good God. This is the hard one. You're not going to like this one. I said, God is good, so he always has a good plan for your life. And God is good because he always gives you what you need, not what you deserve. And God is good because he puts my good ahead of his own. But here's number four. Because God is always good, he does not say yes to every request. There's nothing in the Bible that says that everything you ask for, you're going to get, no matter how self-centered or off base or whatever it is. God does not say yes to every prayer request that I make. We talked about this last week. No loving parent would ever give a child everything they ask for. You're not a vending machine. God is not your genie. He's not your magic wand. He's not your vending machine. Vending machine will give you stuff that's not good for you. God would never give you something that's not good for you. But what about the stuff that I think is good for me? And he says no to. Last week, I told you that God always answers every single prayer. Not always the way you want, but you always get an answer. Remember, I told you facetiously last week that there are four ways God answers. Yes, no, wait, and you got to be kidding me. Let me give you another way to look at this. I want you to write these words down. God answers every single prayer one of four ways. When the request is not right, God says no. God has said no to a lot of your prayer requests. And parents say no to their kids for 100 good reasons. And God doesn't owe you an explanation for every time he says no to something you ask for. You'll know it when you get to heaven, but you're not going to know all the reasons God said no. But no is an answer. So you didn't answer me. Yes, I did. I said no. That's an answer. No. So God says no when the request is not right. When the timing is not right, God says, this is a good request, but not yet. God says slow. Write down that word, slow. No, slow. Slow means I intend to give this to you, but not yet. The timing is not right. There's a big difference between a delay and a denial. No and not yet are not the same thing. Now, if you don't understand that, it means you're immature because kids don't understand the difference between no and not yet. If a parent says to a kid, not yet, they think it means no. And they have a fit. Maturity is when you learn the difference between no and not yet. A delay is not a denial. So sometimes God says no, but sometimes God says, yeah, I'm going to give this to you, but not yet. Slow. It's going to be a while. It might even be years. You don't know. Slow. God knows. Sometimes the request is right, and it's an okay timing, but you're not right. And God wants to do something in your life before he gives it to you. You're not ready to handle the answer because often his answer is a bigger one than you want to get. And when God wants to give you something, he's waiting on you, he says, grow. That's an answer. Sometimes God says, yeah, I'm going to give this to you. That's a good request. That's fine. But you're not ready to handle. It's like giving a little kid, you know, travel luggage to carry into the airport. They can't carry it. It's too heavy. And so sometimes God's answer is, yeah, I'm going to give it to you, but grow first. And once you grow up spiritually in that area, I fully intend to give this to you. Now, when the request is right, it's not some self-centered thing, and the timing's right, and you're right, then God says, go. That's the fourth one. All systems go. Green light. I'm going to give it to you right now. All four of those are legitimate answers. Many times God will say no. Many times he'll say slow, many times he'll say grow, and many times he'll say go. This is it. I'm going to give it to you right now. But each of those are answers to God. Luke chapter 11. Jesus says this, verse 11 to 13. You fathers, if your children ask for fish to eat, would you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? This is obviously humor by exaggeration. Of course not. So, if you as sinful people know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who's a good, good father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The point God is saying here is God's never going to give you anything that'll be hurtful or bad for you. But he says, if you, being an imperfect parent, know how to give good gifts to your kids, and you do know how to do that, certainly God, who is the perfect and good, always good Heavenly Father, knows how to give good gifts to you, but he'll never give you anything that's not good for you in that moment. In that moment. Sometimes we ask things we don't really know what we're asking about. One time, the mother of James and John, who were two of the disciples that Jesus picked, the 12 guys who traveled with him, she comes to him like a good mom. She's proud of her boys. They're traveling with Jesus. She goes up to the Lord and says, Lord, when you get to your kingdom in heaven, can my boys sit on either side of you? I could just see a mom doing this. And John's going, oh, mom, come on. And Jesus, in Matthew 20, verse 22, Jesus replied, you don't realize what you're asking for. You have a limited perspective. You don't see the whole picture. You don't realize, ma'am, what you're asking for. Many times, God has wanted to say that to you. You don't realize what you're asking for. You don't really want that. What you want is something different. And so I'm not going to give you this because you think you want this, but it's not really what you need. It's not good for you. It's not really even what you want. You don't realize what you're asking for. And in that point, when God says no, you need to go, I trust a good, good father than I do my own judgment. Because I think this would be good for me, but God, you got the bigger picture. And you can see my whole life in front of me. You don't know where this turn is going to take me. I don't know, but you do. And if you say no to that job or no to that engagement or no to whatever I've asked for, I'm just going to trust that you are a good father because you can see what I can't see. And I don't realize even what I'm asking for. As Garth Brooks said, thank God for some unanswered prayers. Now, let's just be honest. It's easy to trust God's goodness when things are going good. No sweat. Everything's going good in my life. God is a good God. The test is, can you say that when everything's bad in your life? When things aren't working out, when you're not seeing the changes, when you're not getting the answers, when it seems dark, when you feel alone or afraid, when things are not going good in your life, can you still say, you're a good, good father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are? That is the ultimate test of your faith. And God is going to test your faith thousands of times in life. Do you trust your feelings? It's easy to feel good when God is good, when things are good. Or do I trust the faith that God is good even when I can't see it? That the sun is still shining when I can't see it? The test of your faith is not how high you jump in praise, singing a song when things are going good in your life. The test of faith is how straight you walk when everything sucks. And you're still going straight. I'm still trusting in the goodness of God. I did not get that job. I just got fired. I'm trusting in the goodness of God. That his plans for my life are good plans. God, I trust you. I don't see it, but I trust you. Ultimately, I'm going to trust you. When things don't work out, when my wife got breast cancer, the month we launched the peace plan, I'm going, come on, Lord, we're trying to do something serious here. This is for you. And the Lord's going, Rick, don't you think I know that? And I don't know if my wife's going to die. And I'm praying for a healing. I don't care if it's by miracle or medicine. Doesn't matter to me, just for healing. Don't want to lose my wife. And month after month, I'm holding the bedpan while she vomits into it. And she's going through all this radiation and chemo and surgery. Is God a good father when your wife's got cancer? Yeah. Yeah. When I have two prayers in my life that I've prayed every day for over 40 years and I'm still waiting for the answer, is God a good father? Yeah. Yeah, he's still good. When my youngest son lost his lifelong battle with mental illness that I had prayed every day God would take away, and he takes his own life, And he makes a permanent solution to a temporary mood. Is God a good father when your son commits suicide? Yeah. He's still good. Not everything that happens in the world is good. Not everything that happens in the world is God's will. There are a lot of things God doesn't want to happen, but he's given us a free choice. It's your greatest gift and it's your greatest curse, because he's not going to force you to love him. Is God a good God in that moment? Yeah. The moment of ultimate test of your faith is when you can say, like Job, when you've lost everything, all your family, all your crops, all your business, all your health, you've lost everything. And Job says, you give and take away, you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be the name. You're a good, good father. Even when I've lost it all, I trust you. That is maturity. That's where God wants to take you. That you do not live your life based on your feelings, but you live your life based on the truth. But God has a plan, and if I'll follow that plan, it's a good plan, and even the bad things that happen, God said, I'll fit that into the plan too. You know, a lot of times when you pray for stuff, it doesn't happen. Let's just get real honest here, okay? Let's talk about this. Most or many of your prayers, you have not seen the answers to. You know, this week on Wednesday, I got a terrible stomach ache. I mean, it was bowl over in a fetal position and you can't handle it kind of pain. And I'm laying there, bowled over in pain, and I cried out to God, God, take away this pain. You know what happened? He didn't take it away. Anybody ever been there on that one? He didn't take it away. And actually, the pain lasted several hours longer. It eventually subsided, but he didn't take it away. Now, what does that tell me about prayer? That prayer doesn't work? No, I've seen it work too many times. That God isn't good? No, God is good whether I'm in pain or not. That God doesn't care? Of course God cares. That I should give up on prayer because I don't get everything I selfishly ask for every time? No. God is not a vending machine. He's not a genie. I said that. And prayer is not a painkiller. It is not a painkiller that takes away all of your pain. God is not guaranteed a pain-free life to you. That's called heaven, but not here on earth. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God wants you to live pain-free. Actually, pain keeps us from many times getting into worse situations. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God said prayer will make every single moment of your life easy. It is not God's job to make every moment of your life easy. You'd never grow up. You'd be immature. You'd be spoiled. You'd be incredibly self-centered. It just doesn't say that. So when I'm in pain and I pray and I don't see the answer, should I give up? No. My job is to keep praying, to keep trusting God with the answer, because I know that everything he does and everything he allows in my life, he will use for good. And so I accept a no, or a slow, or a grow, or a go, because I know that God is a good, good father even when I'm in pain. If a doctor does a surgery on you and cuts you open, that's going to cause some pain. But if that surgery saves your life, it's a life-saving surgery, and you are in pain in the surgery, and then you're in pain in the recovery, you say, that's a bad, bad doctor? No, he just saved your life. When God doesn't immediately end your pain, as he didn't mine, he was just saying to me in that moment, my grace is sufficient for you. Rick, you can handle a little pain in your life. You can handle a lot of pain in your life. I've had a lot of pain in my life. In fact, almost everything I've learned in life, I learned through pain. I've learned nothing from pleasure. Zero, zip, nada. I learned very little from success, but I learned boatloads through pain. And God is more interested in making me a man of God than he is in making me comfortable. God is more interested in making you a man of God than making you comfortable. God is more interested in making you a woman of God than making you comfortable. Comfort's gonna go on for trillions and trillions of years in heaven. But right now, you're in the grow-up stage. And so not everything you ask for, you're gonna get. Otherwise, that's like Midas touch. Everything turns to gold. If you never had any pain or difficulty in your life, how strong, how mature would you be? Not very. You don't know God is all you need. until God is all you got. And then you realize that God does everything for good. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, my thoughts are completely different from yours, which is why he doesn't answer the way I want him to many times. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And Rick, you're praying at one level and I'm thinking about your life at another level because I want good for your life even more than you do. Will I trust him? Okay, number one. Number five. Last one. Finally, because God is always good, he invites us to live with him forever. Are you kidding me? God wants to show you his goodness, not just while you're here on earth. God is going to show you his goodness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever for all of eternity. Wow. Because God is always good, he invites us to live with him forever. Two verses and I'll close. 2 Thessalonians. Our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loves us, has given us, by his grace, his goodness, an everlasting encouragement. I'd say so. Heaven's called an everlasting encouragement because it never ends. And a good hope. There's that word good. And a good hope that will last forever. Forever. Circle that. Forever. Now he says, may this encourage your heart, even when you're in pain. That no matter how much pain you're in, it's not going to last forever, but heaven's going to last forever. Joy is going to last forever. Hope's going to last forever. May this encourage your heart and give you strength for every good thing, there's that word good, that you do and say. And God is good to us. He wants us to be good to other people. We did that entire series on Psalm 23 a year ago. And the last verse, Psalm 23, says this, surely goodness, God's goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's good. But then he adds this in, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a good plan. Why am I saying this? Why are we covering this at the very start of our small group studies? Because until you're absolutely convinced that God is a good God and that he's always good and that he never does bad in your life, until you understand the goodness of God, your prayers are going to be powerless and passionless and pointless. On the other hand, when you realize no matter how I feel, and no matter what it looks like, God is for me. He's not against me. God is a good God, and he wants what's good for me more than I even want it myself. And he knows what will make me happy more than I know it myself. God is a good God, and that's the foundation of all your prayers. Now your prayers become passionate and purposeful, and they've got a point to them. And you have power in your prayers. So let me ask you this. What do you want to see happen in your life the next 40 days? I want you to commit the next 40 days to learning how to pray. I'm going to teach you in the weeks ahead, both in the small group and here, how to pray effectively. But it starts with the goodness of God. Nothing's more important in your life than you learn how to pray effectively, friend. It's the way you tap into God's power, God's presence, God's peace, God's purpose, God's plan. It's the way you tap into all of that. So what do you want to see in the next 40 days? Start thinking about that. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. Satan is not afraid of your plans. Satan is not afraid of your schemes. Satan's not afraid of your budget or your strategy. Satan is not afraid of your programs. But he's scared to death of your prayers because that's where you tap into God. And he knows that anytime God wants to do something really cool, really great in your life or in your family or in your job or in your community or in your church or in our nation, he starts by motivating you to pray. So if you're going to commit to praying and learning how to pray the next 40 days, buckle up. Get ready for the adventure of your lifetime. We've just been through a time where we've had three major hurricanes. An earthquake in Mexico, a church shooting in Nashville, and now the largest mass shooting in American history in Las Vegas. I've been consumed by these the last several weeks, helping hundreds of churches. The money that you gave, over $1 million, we've been distributing it in the disaster areas to churches as they care for the people. I've been on the phone all this week talking to pastors in Vegas, coaching them on how to counsel the people, the difficulties. We had people in our area who died in Vegas. Only about 10 people were actually from Las Vegas. They were from everywhere else who died. Our nation needs a spiritual awakening. Our nation needs revival. Our nation needs God. Things happen when people start praying together. These last two verses on your outline, Psalm 119. I want you to pray this week, this verse. Pray it every day. Verse 37 and 40. Lord, keep me from paying attention to what's worthless. You might write out next to that, cable TV, social media. Lord, keep me. If you spend as much time checking in with God in prayer as you do checking your Facebook, you'd be a whole lot stronger. Lord, keep me from paying attention to what's worthless. Instead, let me live by your word. You need to get in a small group where you're going to learn the word. I want to obey your principles. Please renew my life with your goodness. And then make this your prayer, Lamentation 5:21. Bring us back to you, God. You can pray this every day. Bring us back to you, God. We're ready to come back. Give us a fresh start. And as your pastor, I'm asking you to pray three things every day this week. Lord, revive my heart, revive my small group, and revive our church family. Father, you are a good, good father. There are many people here in pain. You're still a good, good father. We've all had prayers that weren't answered the way we want them to be answered. You're still a good, good father. Help us to remember that your plan for our lives is always good. So we choose your plan, not ours. Help us to remember that you always give us what we need, not what we deserve. Thanks for that. And thank you that you not only forgive us, but you pour your goodness into us. Thank you that you're not mad at us, that you're mad about us. Thank you that you amazingly put our good above your own good. And you did that through the cross by dying for the sheep. You didn't spare your own son, so you certainly give us what else we need. And Lord, even though we don't always understand it, we thank you that you don't say yes, go to every prayer request. Your goal is not to make our lives easy, but to grow us up. We realize that your thoughts are not ours. Your ways are higher than ours. There's a lot of stuff we don't understand and we won't understand till we're with you in eternity. And thank you that you've invited us to live with you forever in heaven. If you've never opened your life to Christ, say, Jesus Christ, I want to accept your gift of heaven. I want to accept your gift of forgiveness. I want to accept your gift of a new life. Jesus Christ, I want a relationship with you. I want to put my trust in you. I pray, Lord, you will revive my heart and all of our hearts. You will revive our small groups. You will revive our church family. Only changed people can change the world. I pray this blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen and amen. Lord, revive us and make us changed people that will change the world. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, concluding part three, Who Do You Think You Are Talking To? In his series, 40 Days of Prayer. Next Wednesday, we'll begin looking at praying in five dimensions. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.